Welcome back for a few more minutes with Iris Chang here on the Paula Gordon Show. When I was in college, I had done enough work on Western history that they, as a freshman, allowed me to say what I would like to do instead of taking World Civ, which was too bad because I needed to take that, but I didn't. And so I said I would like to take East Asian history. Now, it was all of East Asia, and it was one semester. And imagine what this freshman faced. So I went in with this sense of being just overwhelmed. And I think a lot of us have that sense of there's so much to Asia, and there are so many different perspectives, and there's so much that impacts so much of the world that it helps to put a stake in the ground in things like the horrific events in Nanking. Now, that's not the book that you've currently written, but you've thought a lot about things like the ongoing concern that the Japanese have never said, we did a terrible thing in Nanking.
And it's really, it's truly heartbreaking. And as my book, The Rape of Nanking, describes, the Japanese massacred as many as 300,000 Chinese civilians and also committed what was then the single worst mass rape of history, some 20 to 80,000 women. And yet, to this day, despite the destruction of the capital city of Nanking at the time, the Japanese have not apologized for these atrocities, nor have they paid reparations, and they continue to censor school textbooks that attempt to discuss the Nanking Massacre or other Japanese war crimes.
It would seem, given the important role that China and Japan play in the world, in the world economy, and increasingly in terms of policy, politics, that unresolved tension between China and Japan is potentially extraordinarily dangerous.
I agree, and it's already brought economic repercussions. For example, to this day, not only have the Japanese not built monuments in Japan, really to commemorate the victims of these atrocities, but they have honored their Class A war criminals in the Yasukuni Shrine, where these war criminals are being worshipped as gods. I mean, this is like the moral equivalent of moving statues of Hitler and his cronies into the biggest cathedral in Berlin and worshipping them as deities. And the Japanese Prime Minister, Koizumi, has been going to the Yasukuni Shrine and paying his respects. And every time he does this, there have been protests, of course, erupting across Asia, in all those countries that suffered horribly under Japanese occupation. And, you know, the PRC will protest. You know, I was on Nightline a few years ago because a number of Korean activists cut off their little fingers in protest. But what was interesting was that recently, because of the last visit by Koizumi to the Yasukuni Shrine, the People's Republic of China did an interesting thing. They canceled Japan's bid for a very lucrative high-speed bullet train rail project in China. And as a result, the Japanese did not get the contract. And I think this owes itself to a growing confidence that China has now is probably the second greatest economic superpower, military power in the world. But before, during the Cold War, I think China was very afraid to offend Japan because both the PRC and the ROC were competing for Japan's political recognition of their governments.
It's interesting that you end your book about Nanking talking less about the Japanese than the mindsets and the conditions that make it possible for any people to behave badly. And I view that book, and next to the one you've written here, both as cautionary tales for all of us.
And I think that both the books should be viewed not as stories about ethnic groups, but they're really about human rights and the struggle for justice.
So we not only should read the books, we should be staying tuned to these larger issues.
Absolutely. I'm now maintaining a human rights bulletin, and people could visit that by going to my website at www.irischang.net.
Which will give us a chance to watch your work in progress. We thank you, Iris Chang.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Iris Chang's final book, The Chinese in America, shines a light on the important role people from China have played and continue to play in creating the United States, a nation of immigrants. Ms. Chang left us a lasting legacy with these stories, for which we thank her. We are honored to have known her. We can all learn from Ms. Chang's sad death at her own hands that depression is a life-threatening mental illness, and that real help in battling this illness is available. In her memory, Ms. Chang's family is supporting the Culture to Culture Foundation in California, raising money to train Chinese-speaking students for mental health careers. I'm Paula Gordon. I wish you well.